Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.com. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. I'm happy that you're here. Now, to help you on your change, whatever that is for your journey, I have a free gift for you. It is my communication style assessment. You'll get two reports. One spotlights just your natural superpowers and how people perceive you. Flip side, you'll receive a report that shows kind of your lowest score, which is usually our blind spot, or the people that we find the most difficult to communicate with. Kind of an important report to get. So again, the link is in the show notes for you. Please take it. And I really do hope it helps you on your journey of change and makes that communication piece with other humans, right? Because that's who we communicate with, a little bit easier. Now, my motivational quote today is by Roger Babson. And Roger says, more people should learn to tell their dollars where to go instead of asking them where they went. Now, even with an MBA in finance, once I started my business, it took a lot of focus and investigation for me to determine where and how much money to spend as I started to build and grow my business. Now, I found that there are some common financial pitfalls that new business owners face, such as managing cash flow, securing funding, and the basics of like creating a budget. Well, today, of course, I have an expert. His name is Kyle Bennett. And Kyle and I are going to share some tips for building a strong financial foundation for your business, including setting financial goals, creating a financial plan, and staying on top of your business's financial health. Now, Kyle is a financial coach for small business owners who crave the dependability of steady income, but are devoted to growing their business and increase its profitability. Now, with his experience growing a seven-figure business and through his overwhelming optimism, which is true, Kyle's here to help you find a way to pay yourself consistently while managing your business to prosperity. Kyle believes every client situation is different and no two businesses are the same. His coaching reflects this belief, so he works with every client to determine and work toward their best possible solution. So Kyle, thanks so much for being on. And I love that you're not a cookie cutter guy either.
I appreciate that. Thanks for having me, Connie. I'm super excited to talk with you and to share some ideas with your audience and just excited to be here overall. Thanks.
Yeah. And now you've been in business and now you started a new business. So this whole new business startup strategy is definitely not new to you. So can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you became that this financial coach for small business owners yourself?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a good place to start. I started, right out of college, I went and worked for a bank for a couple of years. But then after that, I talked to my dad. He had a business, and kind of in the back of my mind, I had always thought about joining the business. Wasn't sure when or in what capacity, but it just so happened that he happened to be looking for someone. And I thought, okay, this is the opportunity that I was looking for. So I joined the company. This was back in 2006, and it was a tiny company at the time. I was one of three employees, and we were not making a ton of money. It was pretty early on in the process, and then we just started collaborating and trying to work on business strategy. And I just loved that the three of us could lock ourselves in a room, throw ideas at the wall and see what stuck. And, we tried some things that were successful. We tried the many things that were unsuccessful. But along the way, we made sure we learned from everything that we tried. And, we're able ultimately to grow the business to a point where it was attractive to buyers. So in 2018, 12 years later, fast forward, we did sell the business. And from there, I continued to work for the organization that acquired us for 4 years after that. Was a great experience as well. I learned a ton. But at the end of the day, I realized that I needed to get back to building a small business. That was what my passion was. That's where what I enjoyed the most. So a little over a year ago, I left and didn't know exactly what I was going to do. I knew I had a passion in small business. I knew I had a passion in investing and in financial education and the stock markets and everything that goes along with that, and tried to figure out exactly how I could bring that all together. And so I started researching financial coaching and really found that that kind of checked all my boxes in what I was looking to do with a new business. I was able to build on my investing passion and knowledge and be able to share that education with others. I was able to help other small business owners and help them realize their dreams of business ownership and entrepreneurship, and really kind of just bring that all together. So about 9 or 10 months ago, I launched this business, and it's still a brand new business. And what I love is that I'm learning from my clients just as much as they're learning from me, because we're kind of going through the same thing together. So, I was able to bring my passions of investing, stock market, education, and small business all together in one to bring me to Form Prosperity Launch. And that's where I am today.
It's so, so cool. You know, entrepreneurship, we do it because we want independence, freedom of time, freedom of money. But with that comes a lot of unknown, exactly what you described. Mm-hmm. So we're kind of learning as we're going, right?
For sure.
Because things change constantly. The other thing that you said that was interesting, that I agree with 100%, our clients teach us just as much as we're helping them. And I feel that's when you know you're with the right client, that there's obviously we're an expert at what we do. Your clients, they started a business with whatever their expertise. And a business owner doesn't necessarily have the financial expertise in their tool belt, so to speak, because they're good at what they do. So if I'm I was going to use a CPA, but they're pretty good with money. But if like I'm going to use a massage therapist, or I'm an investment person, right, that I'm investing in properties and stuff like that, doesn't necessarily mean I have the business sense or the business background, like you said, cash flow, all of those pieces of the puzzle that I had in my intro. So this is such an important piece, because when you start a small business, the money has to make sense. You have to understand, based on my quote, right, where the money's going, not, oh, where did the money go this month? We have to be in a position of control and understanding. And that's hard when it's not your zone of genius, that your business is your zone of genius, not necessarily financial. So when I met you, I met your dad at a conference, and he connected us. And I think with my finance background, I see this a lot with business owners. They don't understand money, or they don't understand how to, they understand money, but they don't know how to apply for funding down the road, you know, how to build that credit of the business and all of those pieces of the puzzle. And when we talked the first time, I said, there's a need out there, because people don't even know what question to ask, because finance isn't their superpowers, right? Their business is their superpowers. So I love how you pulled all of that together, plus your business experience over that 12, 15 years that you worked with your dad at the other company, and now forging on your own because you see the need. It's a need. It's important. So I just love what you're doing. And that's why I asked you to be on the show, because I think a lot of people who are thinking about opening a business, you better listen in. I would get a pen or paper, by the way. But people who are just starting, or maybe a year in, what mistakes are you potentially making that are blind spots? And I think Kyle can be the answer to those blind spots. So yeah, I'm excited to have you. What are some, because you've been doing this a while, I mean, you're not a newbie. So what are some of the most common financial challenges that you see business owners face, including yourself, and how do you help them kind of navigate those challenges to make it just a little bit easier?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think it even starts, you know, initially, maybe even before they open the doors or before they launch. I think that a lot of people are just scared of getting started because of some of those unknowns that you mentioned. So my first recommendation to people is just get started. You know, and you know, take that initial step. And that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, go ahead and file for an LLC or, apply for a loan to start the business, but at least start to put some thoughts together about what that looks like. Because that I think is a challenge in itself, is taking that first step to do that. But, some of the challenges, that I've encountered frequently is cash flow. And, one of the biggest ones is cash flow with new businesses, and they underestimate, what goes into it, what expenses you need just to get a business off the ground. And, being able to kind of have a solid look and a solid understanding and of the expenses that you're going to need to start the business is paramount to your success. And then on the flip side, most people, when they start a business, they have got this great idea and they're so excited about it. And they're like, oh yeah, I'm going to open the doors and all of a sudden I'm going to have clients and customers, lining up outside, and I'm just going to start throwing my money in the air because it's all going to be coming so quickly. Unfortunately, that's not the way it works for most of us. So you have to be comfortable with knowing the ramp up to actually becoming a profitable business and generating revenue may take longer than you expect. There's a lot of things that are, out of your control in those initial stages that just takes time to get ramped up. So, overestimating the revenue in the early stages is something that I see. Again, underestimating the expenses. And then a big thing is, many business owners, like you said, a massage therapist is not expected to be good in financial knowledge. As long as they're good at giving a massage, who the heck cares? Right. Let them do what they're good at and, have someone else kind of help you out through the financial pieces of that. And so my recommendation for business owners, especially new business owners, is just start tracking your expenses. So many of them just kind of look at their bank statement each month and, hey, there's money in there, I'm good. But they might be covering up some of the issues, the underlying issues that are going to affect cash flow down the road. So make sure you're doing an adequate job of tracking your expenses, tracking your revenue that comes in, and kind of projecting those cash flows so that, you're not going to be in a sticky spot once the expenses come due or the credit card bill comes due or you have to pay yourself. You just want to make sure you're kind of navigating those challenges effectively.
Yeah. And it's true. We go, you're idealist because we want to make a difference in the world. I do believe that's why people open a business, because we want to make a difference and we want to help fill in the blank, right? Whatever your zone of genius is. So I think that we do underestimate the cost of everything, and I don't have a brick and mortar, right? So I have an office in my house on the first floor, and then I have Kajabi for my learning platform, right? I have ActiveCampaign for my email campaigns and my CRM. It all costs money and it's not cheap. So I feel, that's the cost of doing business, as if I had brick and mortar and a rent somewhere. These are the equivalent of what, maybe would be called rent. There's expenses everywhere and it's very easy to lose track. The other thing you said that's important, we have to pay ourselves. So what does that mean? So initially, and I know when I started my business, and I think you're kind of the same, we had money in the bank and I had a 13-month package from the company that I left. And I had this huge network that I knew I could tap into. So foundationally, oh, and by the way, the other thing I didn't say is I had written my business plan out 5 years before I even started my business. So I had been thinking about it, reiterating it, tweaking it, all of these things, networking with the anticipation of opening a business, just waiting for the opportunity of having that financial piece in place. Enough saved was originally what I had thought. But then when I got downsized and I had a package plus my savings, I thought, I have a year. If I can't get this off the ground in a year, I'll go get a job. It's not a big deal. We're not going to go into financial distress. So that was 21 years ago, right? But I had that financial support already in place because I had the money. So it gives you the opportunity to breathe and say, okay, what's the first step? What's the second step, et cetera. But notice what I said, 5 years before I started my business, I started to think through and put those pieces of the puzzle together. Here's the difference. I have an MBA in finance, right? You have a financial background. Everybody doesn't. So they might not know, what do I do? What is a financial plan for opening a business? What does that business plan look like? Here's the other thing I just wanted to comment. And you said that people, you know, massage therapists, again, I'll just use that as an example. Could be anything, but I'm a massage therapist. I don't know. I know my cash flow in my home, but once you go into that business realm, there's a lot of hidden things. And you said that you really have to look at the numbers because there's something going on underneath or a trend in the money that we need to follow. So all of those pieces of the puzzle, you got to have money in the bank before you jump in, because the assumption, I think, Kyle, has to be you're not going to get a paycheck for at least a year. That would be, I think, the hopes. And I know it was probably about 6 months before I actually had cash coming in after spending. But remember, I had a year of income plus money saved to invest in the business. So you got to have a plan going in as well.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, that's you for sure, Connie. I think that your plan, you had that plan. So you knew going into it that you were able to support yourself for a year plus. And, you know, you just had that already kind of, you know, planned out that during that ramp up phase, you were able to, you know, not freak out because you already knew. And that's part of the biggest thing is controlling your emotions. And just learning to deal with the ups and downs of starting a business. It is a roller coaster ride. You know, I'm telling you from personal experience, you know, it certainly can be a trying time to kind of navigate those waters as well. So absolutely.
Kyle, in addition to what I said, I mean, that was my experience, right? And my plan of attack, if you will. What are some of the other key strategies that you typically recommend for building that strong financial foundation for a new business, right? So mine, right, I had the package. I had the money in the bank. Mm-hmm. I had my business plan already in place. That's because I had a finance background. I understood. But if I don't know anything about other than my personal cash flow, what are some other things that you typically recommend right out of the gate with your new clients?
Yeah, I think one of the big things is just try to keep your expenses low. You know, you want to be able to kind of fund everything with profits from the business. So obviously early on, there might not be those profits or the revenue coming in. So anything you can do to, you know, reduce those expenses, you know, look for cuts. For example, in my own business, you know, I look for ways like free software or, you know, free ways. I don't have a Zoom subscription just because it costs money. And right now I'm using, you know, another one that's a free option and things like that. And so if there's ways, especially marketing, there's so many ways you can do marketing for free. Social media marketing is a big one today, and that's free. And if you can do that, if you can optimize your website so you're getting some organic traffic rather than paid ads, try to keep those expenses in check in the early stages of the business. And then, you know, we hit on this a little bit already, but you just have to go in with the expectation that you're not going to be making any money for maybe longer than you originally envisioned. Yes. So if you know that and, you know, you have that in your plan from the beginning that you need to be able to support your family, your lifestyle, whatever it may be in those early stages of the business, then it's not going to stress you out as much when that revenue starts, it takes a little bit longer to come in. And then just puts together some of those financial projections. You know, if you're able to do it yourself, great. If not, you know, have someone help you out with, you know, what are you expecting in sales? And don't just throw a number out there because it feels good. Like actually, you know, think about, okay, you know, using the massage therapist, how many massages will you have to give in a month? to hit that sales goals and make sure those numbers make sense. And, you know, include revenue, include expenses, and, you know, really just kind of focus on bringing that all together. And then, you know, I recommend, you know, talking to someone like a financial coach too, you know, one that understands your business, one that understands what your goals are for the business. You know, a lot of people start businesses, and I've had clients start businesses. It's just kind of a hobby on the side, and that's fine. That's if that's the goal you have is just to kind of, you know, occupy, you know, a little bit of your time on the side, and whatever you make is just, you know, shopping money or spending money. That's cool. But if your business is to support your family of five, and talking from experience, because I have three kids that can be very expensive, you know, you kind of got to come into it with a different mindset and say, okay, how am I going to be able to grow this to, you know, replace income at a job you're walking away from, or, you know, other things that come up in your life. And, you know, those two paths are very different. You know, so you got to think about that all together. And if you have someone you can talk to that understands your goals for the business and what you're trying to accomplish, and also has experience in putting together these financial plans, that will get you certainly started on the right foot.
Yeah. A couple of nuggets in there, right? So it's not a bad thing to start as a side hustle either, because you're generating some money. Maybe take that money while you still have the full-time job and start to invest back, maybe pay for the website. So you have the money coming in, pay for the website. You have the money coming in, hire a financial coach while you still have income so that you do it right. Here's the other word of caution. And I know I've spent a lot of time and money hiring people for marketing and all of this other stuff. And they promise you the world. And at the end of the day, it generates nothing. So to me, what I have found, and as soon as COVID hit, my whole business model changed because I was live. Now I do hybrid, right? I do some live. And of course, I do some digital like we're doing now, right? From a teaching perspective. And I remember when COVID hit, right? The income stopped. Thank goodness. See, again, I had money in the bank. We had a year's worth of income in the bank just in case. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing I'm trying to teach my kids. You got to plan for a rainy day, because no one expected COVID. Thank goodness it, you know, things opened up sooner than later, but we didn't know. So you really do always have to have that little safety net. So that, to me, in life, you need a safety net. That's number one. Number two, when everything shifted, I started just investigating, and I didn't know what I didn't know. So you hire people, and that, you know, it's funny, Kyle, because I was in business about 19 years when COVID hit. Yet I made some of the mistakes that newbies make, because it was new to me. The digital world was new. So it was like I was launching a whole new business, and I didn't know what I didn't know. So I like your idea of, you know, especially if it's a side hustle to begin with. Number one, and even if it's not, have income coming in before you start spending, right? Or if you do have to spend for websites and stuff like that, where is that cash going to come from? And then you've got to vet people out. You've got to ask for references, because there's too many people out there that all of a sudden, oh, I'm going to do marketing, and they've never done marketing before, but they read a book and now they think they can teach you. So really be careful who you're hiring. That would be another big one. Recently, I've kind of been duped, right? And here I've been in business a long time. So be mindful, ask the questions. And the other thing I have found, Kyle, that strikes me funny every day, I lived off referrals before COVID, just because people trusted me. And, you know, I made a difference in their organizations, right? So I've been very blessed that I get that repeat business and they refer me to their peeps, right? That's how my business grew. Well, guess what I'm finding now in this digital world? Where am I getting my business? Word of mouth. So don't underestimate, like Kyle said, don't start spending money on ads and stuff like that. Really, really, really work your network, because that it's effort, right? It's sweat equity for you, but there are people that know you, they know your reputation, and start to try things out, beta test things, get the word out of what you're doing, build that trust with the people that already know you, and ask for those referrals. People want to help. It doesn't have to cost money right out of the gate. So I don't know where you land with that.
For sure.
Networking, ironic, you know,
Absolutely. I think networking is a huge one. And thank you for bringing that up, you know, because that doesn't have to cost you anything. You know, you can go to some of these networking events. Many of them are free. And you just talk to people. And that's a great way to get feedback on your business is, you know, you can just have a casual conversation, mention what you do and kind of hear some thoughts from potential clients or, you know, just people that want to help out and maybe have been through it before. I think that's a huge one. So yes, definitely.
And beta test too, because you don't want to test something and will people eventually pay for this? So you need that real feedback, because if it doesn't, somebody I know joins my beta, I'll say Kyle joins my beta test for my 7-step class and he doesn't get the results. I need that feedback because I'm not ready to go to market. I'm not going to make money. And if you do get people in and you don't deliver the promise of you're going to make more money, make more sales, right? In my case with you, it's be financially prepared for, God forbid, the unknown, right? Our roles within our jobs. But if we don't deliver that, that's even worse, because now you're not going to have income coming in because you went to market too soon. So it is a timing thing. And I do agree. This is the other thing. And when COVID hit, Kyle, I don't know if I had told you this, but I hired a coach who was an expert in building a list. I had zero on my list. Now I have over 5,000, right? In 3 years, that's pretty good. I had to hire someone because I had major blind spots to enter into this digital space. And at my age, it was very difficult. So I really did need to hire someone because I knew I was going to spend way too much of my time and my money learning instead of hiring someone who's been through it before at a fraction of what that cost would be. So hiring a coach, vet them out. It's important, but we need some guidance sometimes. And then, you know, the old saying, we're penny wise, dollar foolish. We're worried about spending the dollar because I could do it myself, but at what cost, where I was able to hire this coach at a fraction of the amount of time and money it would have cost me to go up that learning curve. So we have to be mindful of all these things. Being a business owner is not for the faint of heart.
Far from it. And that's an excellent point. You know, you have to think about, yes, there's you know, so many things in business that, yeah, you might be able to do yourself, but your time is money. Yeah. So you need to figure out, you know, what the best use of your time is, focus on there. And then if you can find a cost-effective way to kind of hand some of those things off, then that's, you know, probably a good decision for your business.
Yeah. Agree. Time is money for sure. How do you, Kai, how do you stay up to date on all the latest financial trends, best practices, and incorporate that into the coaching? For instance, right, you're a banker as well. Like, you have the banking background like me. You know, the bank's failing out in Silicon Valley and the one in upstate New York. Listen, they didn't do good risk management, but things are always changing. Technology is always changing. How do you weave that in and stay relevant with that kind of information? Because it changes.
You know, I try to be a constant student and just, you know, read as much as possible. You know, I'm reading, you know, I read, you know, financial books and follow blogs and things like that. I think there are, you know, a lot of great minds out there. There's also a lot of people that I don't necessarily align with and agree with. And, you know, that's, I learned from that though too, and try to just kind of stay up on that as much as I can. The other thing I do, I'm in some groups with some other coaches, financial coaches and other types of coaches as well. And just try to learn from them and talk to them regularly and ask them what's worked for them, what hasn't, you know, their experiences and just kind of, you know, trying to get as much from a support group and other mentors, that I can in that way. And then I think certainly one that I touched on a little bit earlier, I listen to my clients and learn as much as I can from them, because they're all going through a lot of things that can help other people when, you know, we uncover a solution to that. So I'm not going to sit here and say I have all the answers to everything that my clients come to me with, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to listen to you, and that we're going to figure out how to how to come up with a solution to whatever issue you're facing. If I don't immediately know the answer, I'm going to go research it and talk to my client about what's the best possible solution for their particular situation. And then right there, I've just built my knowledge, because not only am I able to serve them with a solution to their problem, but I know the alternatives as well. And something that works for them might not work for another client, but one of those other alternative solutions very well could. So I try to learn as much as I can from my clients along the way. And I think that's one of the best ways to stay up to date. And then, of course, you know, following the markets, following, you know, what's going on, you know, just, you know, the ways you can kind of build that, you know, savings account, and kind of where you can put that, you know, is always changing with interest rates going up and down and things like that. So staying on top of that is important as well. But
yeah, one investment today isn't necessarily going to be a good investment for tomorrow. For sure. Bond market, stock market, they're varying, and you have to be mindful of that. So you do need someone with some financial expertise to be able to navigate, because that in of itself could be a whole new language, right? 12B1 fees on a mutual fund for, you know, management fees. What's a 12B1 fee, right? So you have to be able to discern, am I paying too much for that mutual fund versus another, if their overall performance could be the same, right? It's complicated. So we need advice. The other thing I think you said that was really resonated with me is, again, learning from our clients, because no two clients are the same, Kyle, right? And you're not cookie cutter. I'm not cookie cutter. Every time I'm in front of a potentially new client, I go in with zero solutions in mind, because I don't know their situation. How can I think of a solution if I don't even know where they are for me, right? Within banks and credit unions, you know, where are you with the sales service culture? You know, what does the client journey look like for you? Who's coaching once training happens, so you're not throwing money away? I go in with a very open mind, because I don't know, and no two clients should ever have that same solution, because they're not the same. They're just not at the same point. So I love that you said that as well. And I learned from my clients the same thing, so that I could bring that forward and say, well, you're further ahead. We don't need to do this, but we certainly need to do this. So that was an important piece of the puzzle. My last question, because we're out of time, but what are some of the key benefits for someone who's thinking about opening a business, or have opened and just kind of glitching? They're having a little trouble getting the financial piece in place. How can they gain from working with someone like you, a financial coach who has this business background? Like, what questions, how do they vet them out so that you know that you're going to move the needle and create the stability so that you can then go and do your business, right? Whatever your zone of genius is. What are some of the things they can do?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, when I work with my clients, as you mentioned, you know, it's certainly an individualized plan. You know, it's a custom plan that is going to be based on their needs, and all those things that we previously talked about come into that. What are their goals for the business? How are they going to fund the business? How are they going to fund their personal life throughout the process? So just analyzing that as you're thinking about, you know, going into business, you know, what are your answers to those questions? How are you going to, you know, what does sales like look like in the first 3, 6, 9 months? You know, what are you expecting for revenue? Start to project some of that out. But you know, that's the beauty of coaching, is that I'm there with them throughout that process. You know, similar to my business, the way that my business has unfolded throughout the first year is completely different than I may have expected a year ago. So being able to pivot is important, and having someone there to be able to talk through these things with, it can certainly be, especially if you're starting a business by yourself as a solopreneur in those early stages, it can be a little bit lonely. You know, you kind of lock yourself in your office, and just having someone to talk to about what you're going through is incredibly valuable especially for early stage businesses. You know, I'm able to be there with people throughout the entire process. And that's why I especially like getting in with people, you know, even before they have you know, open the doors. And that way we can kind of create a custom plan to be able to grow off of, and of course pivot. And then, you know, when the business takes a different direction or life takes a different direction, you know, if you have things going in, on in your personal life, you have unexpected expenses coming up that come up, you know, all of a sudden you have a roof that needs repaired, or God forbid there's a health issue or something, you know, you're able to you take that initial plan and kind of pivot. So just kind of planning out as much of that in advance you can will set you up for success. And then a big benefit of working with someone like myself is an accountability partner. Yes. So it's similar to a personal trainer at a gym. You know, anyone can walk in and, you know, pick up some weights and start lifting. In my business, many of the topics I teach you, you can research and do online yourself and find all that. It's all, there's millions of books available on this stuff. But what your personal trainer is going to do is teach you the proper way to do it for your body type, your style. And, you know, if you say you're going to go to the gym at 6:30 and you're at 6:30 in the morning and you're not there, who's going to be calling you? Right. It's your personal trainer. Hey, you said you were going to be here. Where are you going to be? Well, I do the same thing with my clients. I hold them accountable for what they say they're going to do, so that I make sure that they're continuing on with their plan. And just having someone that you know is that you have to report back to. Hey, you know, did you do what we said we were going to do? That in itself, you know, helps people be successful.
Yeah.
And like,
go ahead.
Yeah. Just the last thing I was going to say is, because I'm also building a business myself, many of the things my clients experience, I've either experienced myself, or it, you know, is something that you know, I've experienced in the past, or yeah, possibly currently or in the future. So that's a big benefit of you know, being able to work with someone that's in a similar business building phase themselves.
Yeah. But have been there and done that, right? So this isn't your first rodeo. Exactly. You're bringing a lot to the table. Is,
yeah, absolutely.
Plus
absolutely.
You're starting your own business again, and it's a new business than what you were in, you know, 12, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's the other piece of the puzzle. We need to seek out people, number one, that we trust, that we connect with, because this is personal, man. This is intimate when you're working with a coach. And it was funny, my coach, he cracks me up. Anytime he would give me an assignment, right? He'd teach me and then say, all right, now this is what I want you to do. Send it to me. I'll review, whatever. And I would start thinking about things. And then like the next day I'd have it to him and he goes, you freak me out. He was like, you are. And I'm like, you give me something to do, I'm going to do it, because I don't have time to waste. Like, I want to make money. I want to pivot. I want to make my new business profitable, like my other business was right before COVID hit. So he would laugh because he'd be like, you scare me. I don't even know that I'm going to have time to review it now. I'm like, no, I'll give you time. I'm not impatient. I'm impatient with myself. So that's the other piece, that accountability. We need people to hold us accountable and then have them review, because they're going to see things. They give you, like he gave me the homework and he would come back and go, what about this? What about this? What about this? I don't know. Like, but here's the thing, little by little, he taught me, we worked through it. I wouldn't have known. And you said before, I mean, I could have done all the research of everything he taught me. I wouldn't have known which research was appropriate. Yep. And in the order that the research should have been implemented for me, that I was an established business. So I had all of these assets created. Just didn't know anything about the digital world. So it was very different than someone who's starting out a totally new business that was younger than me doing digital. Totally different education for him with them versus him with me. Because a lot of business stuff I understood, I didn't understand the digital. So again, the research is there. We waste more time because we don't know. We have these blind spots. We don't know what to ask. So it's very important to have someone who's been there, done that, as well as also, I think, in business currently. So like my coach, he has his own business as well. And you were saying strategize. We strategize a lot. I give him ideas for his business and he gives me ideas for my business. So again, that reciprocity, that energy, that intimacy, not in a weird way, it's lovely and it makes it a heck of a lot more fun. So I'm glad you said that as well, because we are alone. That doesn't mean that we have to function alone, that we could kind of speed things up. Kyle, thank you so much for being on. You know, I love hanging out with you, and I'm just so proud of everything you're doing. So if you want help, please check out Kyle's website. It's prosperitylaunch.com. If you have questions specific for Kyle, where you just kind of want to pick his brain, email him at kyle@prosperitylaunch.com. And you do have a free gift. Can you tell everybody what that is? And I'll put the notes in the, I'll put the link in the show notes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I have an ebook that I created, and it's called How to Succeed as a Startup. And it goes through a lot of what we talked about today, but it's essentially a checklist that can walk you through, you know, what you need to think about as you're getting your business up and running, you know, financially, how to prepare yourself on just the personal side to make sure you're prepared, and what you need to think about it, the business as a whole. So I'm happy to give that out to your listeners, Connie. And yeah, absolutely. Anyone that, even if it's just, you know, sharing some tips on what you've experienced, reach out to me. I love to talk to other small business owners.
Yeah. It's fun to network, because you never, and here's the other thing too, Kyle, right? You never know who knows somebody that can help you with something you're working on. And we build, again, this whole network of reciprocity where I help you, you help me, and then your friends I help, and then their friend helps me, and then their friend helps you. And you have this beautiful web of connection that we can vet and help and support each other along the way, which I think is the best part of networking. My husband, we had a funeral this week, and one of my cousins, he's in Hawaii, young man, my cousin's son, and he has his own business. So he and I are going to start to maybe work on projects and do things together, because he's brilliant. And we were talking, and my husband said, she's like the networking queen. If you need someone, check with her. She's got them in the network. So, you know, me, my Jersey, right? I got a guy. I have a guy for everything, right? And that's the other piece, I think, of the puzzle with connecting with coaches, that we can mastermind and we can network and support each other without feeling like we're giving business away, because you're not. If you have this very open, prosperous, abundant mental or mindset, the poverty goes away, and we just show up, man, and we show up big, which is kind of cool to do. So Kyle, thank you.
So much fun.
I love you, kiddo. I'm so proud of you, and just keep on rocking. And you know, I'm always an email away for you as well. And I hope you guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together, no matter where you are on your journey of change, your journey of business, your journey of career, wherever it is. I truly hope that my guests and I inspire you to take action. Information's a beautiful thing. If we do nothing with it, it's simply information. Put that information into action, and man, oh man, magic really does begin to happen. Kyle, thank you again. Thank you for tuning in to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.com. I truly wish you an inspired week. Please, please try something, put together a business plan, start to write down ideas. If you're thinking about a business or you started a business, reach out to Kyle, pick his brain. And of course, I'm always an email away as well. Thank you for tuning in. I love you all, and I'll see you next week. Have a great one. Thanks, Kyle. Bye, everybody.